Today, we are in Luke, in case you were wondering. Luke chapter 20, we're going to finish up chapter 20 and go into chapter 21. Like I said, thanks to Jawan for preaching last week. It's my understanding you did a really good job and that some of you didn't want me to come back so that he could do it again. But we'll let him preach again later on. He's getting too good at it. Y'all gonna run me off, but thanks, Jawan, for what you did. Today we're again kind of remind you what's going on in Luke. It's the last week of Jesus' life. He's in Jerusalem. He's made it, and he's in the temple complex. So this last week, Luke is focusing in on Jesus' interaction with leadership and with people and what's going on. And he's had some challenges to his authority and some challenges politically and some challenges theologically. And so those things have gone on. And last week, Jawan talked about the fact that Jesus refers to himself as the Lord or that connection where David calls the Lord, his Lord, his, you know, that whole reference there to the Old Testament. And really, David is referring to Jesus as his Lord. And so that idea or that fact that Jesus is Messiah and that coming king that would one day free his people and rule the world. So we've got that picture. Well, today, Luke is going to give us an interaction between Jesus and his disciples where he's warning them about the Pharisees. He's warning them about not just the Pharisees, but all the Jewish leadership. So he's talking about pride and dealing with pride, and he's dealt with that before, but he's giving them this last warning of watch out for pride, and he's going to talk about humility and demonstrate that in the giving of a woman who is very poor. And so we want to talk about the fact that God knows your heart. No matter how we can fool people, we can trick people into thinking that we've got it all together. We could trick people into thinking that we're humble. We could trick people into thinking that we're smarter than we are. We can trick people, but God knows the heart. God knows what's going on the inside, and he reads more than our actions. He reads the intent of the passions of the heart. So that's what we're going to look at today. We'll finish up chapter 20. It's a few verses, spill over into chapter 21, where Jesus is going to teach about this woman who gives these two coins. So let's read together. We'll start at the end of chapter 20, verse 45. And we'll read, like I said, into chapter 21. It says this: while all the people were listening, so again, he's in public, he's in the temple complex, and people are around them, and so they're listening in, but Jesus is going to talk to the disciples. He says, so while all the people were listening, he said to his disciples, beware of the scribes who want to go around in long robes and who love greetings in the marketplaces, the front seats of the synagogues and the places of honor at the banquets. They devour widows' houses and say long prayers just for show. They will receive greater punishment. And he looked up and he saw the rich dropping in their offering into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow dropping in two tiny coins. I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For all these people have put in gifts out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, has put in all she had to live on. So this morning we get this contrast of the people that look righteous, the people that look holy, the people that are leadership, the people that are looked up to, and their contrast of what they really do compared to this woman who is oftentimes forgotten in society, and this woman who is left to be devoured by anyone who can come along and take advantage of her. And so This morning, we're going to deal with money. I hate the topic, but Jesus talks about it a lot. So we're going to deal with it because the money really reveals our heart. It shows us what we care about. It shows us the things that matter to us, and how we treat money and what we do with money really reveals our innermost being. And so Jesus deals with a lot as well. And so it's not that I want your money. It's not that I'm asking for your money. I'm asking for your heart to change. And so Jesus is saying that what you do with your money shows your heart. And so this morning I'm after your heart and transformation there. So I know a lot of people complain. Church just talks about money all the time and they just want your money. Some do. But I want you to really hear the heart of God and the heart of Jesus here. So we've already taken the offering. If I was smart, we'd have waited till afterwards, I guess, and took the offering after I preached. But this morning, I want us to see this contrast here. And so the first thing I want us to see and the first thing I wanted to pull out is the fact that pride blinds us. Pride blinds us. Most people who struggle with pride don't realize they struggle with pride. Ever met someone who was very prideful and you say, man, that was very prideful of you? You're like, I don't have a problem with pride. It's like, yeah, you do. Our pride is often seen by others but missed by ourselves. And pride is something that blinds us to what's going on around us. So Jesus is going to deal with pride, and pride leads further to an elevation of the self. We elevate ourselves beyond where we really should be. That's why Paul says, don't think more highly of yourselves than you deserve. Don't think too highly of yourself. But pride gives us this elevation of ourselves that ends up seeing other people as inferior to us. You ever look around and say, well, at least I'm not that bad. Or at least I'm better than her, or I'm better than him. I might be a sinner, but I'm not that kind of sinner. Or I'm better than them because I have a better job. I'm better than them because I have more education. I'm better than them because I'm smarter than them, or I'm more athletic than them. I'm more capable of them. And we see other people just as pawns in life that we can use and abuse and throw away. Pride elevates the self and gives us a wrong picture of ourselves. Credit for things should come because it's earned, not because we think we're so good. Some examples of what's going on here. Our credit for who we are, what we do, should not depend on the outside. Jesus talks about these guys who go around with flowing robes. They dress so nice. They have the latest designs. They wear the right colors in the right seasons. Like apparently at some point in the year you're not supposed to wear white anymore or things like that. I just wear what's on top, and so that's what I do, or what's in front. And so I don't really care what the seasons tell me to wear, but some of you, that's a big deal, that you wear the right things in the right times. Or I've got some shirts that are like 20 years old, and some of you are like, man, that went out 19 years ago. You should be up with the styles. And so you're all up to date, and you're wearing the best stuff, and you're looking the best part. And I'm not saying it's wrong to wear good clothes or up-to-date clothes. I'm just saying that sometimes we put those things on to impress other people so that other people can tell us how good we are. And Jesus says these guys are going around with their long flowing robes and they're wearing all the nice stuff, and everybody from the outside is just building up them and saying how great they are and looking up to them like they've got it all figured out. And so they take credit for that because of what they're wearing on the outside. Another thing that we sometimes take credit for, or our credit for what we do, should not be based on other people's opinions. some people think so greatly of us and so highly of us. And if we really, they really knew who we were and who we, what we thought, they probably wouldn't think that highly of us anymore. It should not be based on other people's opinions. Jesus said these scribes, they look for the greetings in the marketplace. Oh, there's so-and-so. It's so good to run into you at the marketplace. You are a wonderful person. I'm blessed because you're here. Or let's put this in a more modern day thing. Oh, so-and-so commented on my Instagram or on my Facebook. On my TikTok, they liked it. Look who's interacting with me. And man, they think I'm great. Our credit of what we do should not deal with things based on the outside or things based on others' opinions, and it shouldn't matter about our social status. Some people work really hard for their social status, and they've got the right set of friends, and they make sure they go to the right places, and they're interacting with the right people. And it gives them this sense of pride. And Jesus says, these scribes, these guys are looking for the best seats at the banquets and the best seats in the synagogues. That they go to the right parties and they go to the right church and they sit in the prominent places where people would say, wow, look, they are somebody. And so it has inflated the scribe's pride. And in reality, Jesus says, be careful of those people because their pride blinds them to what they really are. He says they are not great. They are not people who deserve honor, but they are people who are devouring widows' houses. Now that phrase kind of gets lost on us because we don't know exactly what he's talking about there, but it would have been common that the religious leaders or the leaders of society would have quote unquote helped the widows in their finances and in their dealings. Because in this culture, when he talks about a widow, they're not just talking about someone who lost their husband, but they're talking about someone who's lost their husband and doesn't really have any other family, any other male family that can come in, no sons or no brothers who can come in and take care of them. And so they're at the mercy of society. Now, if you lost your husband and you had a brother, or if your father was still alive, or if you had a son, your son or your brother or your husband or your father would step in and bring you in and take care of you and help you take care of your finances and help take care of the things that you needed in life. But when he talks about how the widows are being, their houses are being devoured, what he's talking about is these women who don't have these people in their lives. And so these scribes are stepping up and stepping in, and they're charging an exorbitant amount to take care of these widows when they should be fair with them, when they should be making sure that they're taken care of, not to their own gain. Not to their own riches. And Jesus is saying, yeah, they look good on the outside, but they're terrible on the inside. At other points, Jesus would describe the Pharisees, who some of the scribes were Pharisees. It was kind of these categories kind of blended in on different places. But he said, you guys are like whitewashed tombs. You're pretty on the outside, but you're full of dead men's bones. Recently, it was after Halloween, All Hallows Eve. You get on the beginning of November in our culture, there's the blessings of the cemeteries or blessings of the graves, and so a lot of people will go and they will clean up the cemeteries. They will make sure all the grass is cut and you know everything is done. The flowers look good and maybe if the tombstone is kind of dirty or full of flaky paint, they may clean it and repaint it so that it looks good. And he says, that's what you guys are. You're pretty grave. You're pretty on the outside, but on the inside, you're just dead. And he contrasts these people who society puts up on a pedestal and says, you better watch out for these guys. Yeah, they look good. They wear the right things. They know the right people. They hang out in the right places. But their heart is one that is not good. They devoured. They took a large cut for themselves of the widow's affairs. They put on a nice public show. Jesus says they have these lengthy prayers so that people would step back and say, wow, look how holy they are. They've got it all together. But Jesus says they're just full of pride. They're just full of pride. We need to show mercy, not just religious exercise. You need to show mercy, not just religious exercise. Your life should be one that exudes mercy to other people, not just connected to the right church with the right people and the right events. Because God doesn't care about those things. God cares about your heart. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, it says, pride goes before the fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. Your pride will eventually lead to your demise. And pride blinds us of our own pride. We don't see it in ourselves. Some of the most prideful people don't realize they're prideful. And leaders, they deserve respect. I'm not saying don't respect them, but leaders, don't let that respect turn into pride. Remain humble. Remain a people who care about others, deserve the respect, and live that out in your daily life. In a way to kind of to flesh that out, is there anything that's below you? Any work that's below you of, I'm too good? You might not say these words, but you have this attitude, I'm too good to do that. I'm too good to sweep a floor or clean a toilet. I'm too good to take out the trash. I'm too good to set up chairs. I'm too good for those things. I need to be the person who's up front and who's seen. If you're too good or too high to serve, you've missed the whole point of being a servant of God. Jesus himself washed people's feet. That's the worst job that a slave could have. And Jesus, on the night that he is betrayed, gets a basin of water and a towel and he goes around washing the disciples' feet. That's not the job of the leader. At least that's not the expectation of the job of the leader. But the heart of the leader is to serve. And so don't let pride overcome you. Don't let pride destroy you. Don't let pride get in the way of having the right relationship with God. And then Luke automatically gives us a picture of, instead of having this pride, look at who Jesus lifts up. Remember, when Luke first writes this, there's no chapters. There's no verses. So this story flowed into the next story, even though it's chapter 20, verses 21 in our text. So the original hearers and the original readers would have read about the pride of the scribes and would have gone straight into the story of the widow. And so I want us to see that Jesus is going to show us what humility looks like when it comes to our giving. And so, in reality, our giving reveals us. Pride may blind us, but our giving reveals us. The things you give to, the things you spend your money on, like I said, reveal your heart. So instead of the response of the religious leaders, Jesus says, look at this woman. Look at this widow. Look at this woman who doesn't have very much. She's responding to God in a way that is much more righteous than the people that you expect. The rich were putting money in the offering. Now, they're given to the temple to help maintain the temple, help maintain daily activities, to take care of all the things that came along with worship there at the temple. And so they gave offering in the temple boxes. And so the rich are going around and they're throwing money in, but they're putting in out of their abundance. And Jesus says that they give only because they have a lot. What's $100 when you've got 10,000? So $100 is a lot. Even the, you know, when you ain't got $100, $100 is a lot. But it's not very much if you've got 10,000. It's 1%. And so we look at people who put a lot in the plate or put a lot in the offering. We're like, wow, they're blessed. Wow, look at how much they gave. Look at what they're doing for God. And again, Jesus is sitting back looking at their heart and saying they're just giving a lot because they've got way much more than you think they do. The poor woman, however, puts in two small copper coins. These are the smallest coins in their system. It was worth about 1/100 of a denarii. Now remember, a denarii was a one day's wage. So 1/100 of a denarius was about 5 minutes of labor. So she puts in 10 minutes of work, of what equals 10 minutes of work. And Jesus sits back and says, that woman gave more than everybody else. Now those of you who are more logical and have math minds, and you're like, 1/10 of a denarius is not way more than what these other people are putting in. But again, Jesus looks at the heart. He looks at what she's given compared to what she's got. Jesus says she gave out of her poverty, but those others have given out of their riches or out of their excess. In other words, they're not going to miss it. It's a coffee to them. It's a meal at McDonald's to them. They're not going to miss that money. This woman, however, gave everything she's got. And Jesus says her heart's in the right place because she gave, because she cares about the ministry of the temple as opposed to these people who are giving just because they've got extra money. She gives the little she has, even though she needs that to live off of. Now, I know giving is a touchy subject. I don't like to talk about it. But Jesus talks about it a lot, which means it's an important subject. And I'm not going around saying, oh, so-and-so gave, we're going to check them off, so-and-so other gave. That's between you and God. What you give, how much you give, if you give at all, is between you and God and your own obedience. So if you feel that I'm pointing you out or you feel that I am picking on you, hey, I'm an expository preacher. It's just today was this text. It's been planned for a long time, and God put you here to hear it. So I'm not looking at you and saying shame on you, but maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. And so she gives the little she has, even though it's what she needed to live off of. But Jesus calls for real giving, a real giving attitude, a real giving heart, not leftovers. Not, oh, I won't miss that. No, not if I could spend it on a coffee or I can spend it on this, that, or whatnot. We give God, or what we give God should take priority, not our leftovers. Hear that. What we give God should take priority, not our leftovers. Too many of us just give when the bills are paid and we're like, okay, I've got this much money, I'll give. Is that out of priority or is that out of what you've got left? because it shows your priorities. God needs to be number one. And I'm not saying give everything you've got. I'm not saying that this widow is an example that we should give everything we've got and just hope that, you know, the electricity doesn't get kicked off. But it's about priorities. It's about humility. It's about how God sees our heart. No one is, well, what this story teaches us too is that no one is too poor to give. A lot of us, and there are times in our lives and sometimes seasons in our lives where, you know what, we don't have much of anything. That our bank account's in the negative, that, man, I wish I could buy a coffee, or I wish I could do that for my kids, or I wish I could do that for my spouse, but you can't because you don't have the money. But Jesus teaches us here that none of us are too poor to give. This widow who has nothing gives 10 minutes of work. If this woman didn't give, no one would have missed it. The leadership wouldn't have missed it. The people wouldn't have missed it. The temple wouldn't have missed it. But God saw what she did, and God saw her heart. And now the whole world knows her because she gave. God saw her giving as obedience. God saw her giving as participation. Her giving communicated appreciation to God for what He's done for her. And that's what our giving does. It demonstrates appreciation to God for all that He's blessed us with. And it shows that we trust God. We need to be people like this woman. Sometimes a minimal gift takes a maximum sacrifice. That's why Paul tells us, be a cheerful giver, because it reflects our heart. When you give, do you give grudgingly? Or is it something that you get to give? Again, I don't know where you are. I don't know if you give. I don't know how much you give. I don't care. And this isn't, oh, the lights are going off tomorrow, so please give sermon. This is about your heart. Do you live with the humility of this woman? Or do you walk around with the pride of the leaders? God cares about your heart. God cares about what's important to you. God cares about those things. Because those things overflow into our life and our relationships with others. So as Chris plays, will you spend time with God? Look at yourself. Maybe you need to have a conversation with your spouse or a look over your giving. How does that come? Or maybe you have a problem with pride, that you care too much how people see you. You care too much about being in the right crowd, in the social group, or how people perceive you. We need to care more about how God perceives us than culture. So as Chris plays, you respond to God. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that it penetrates our heart. I pray that we would be a people who live humbly before you. And that we wouldn't look to others to lift us up. We wouldn't care about the social groups we're in or the way people perceive us. But we would be humble, that we live in appreciation to you. And that the way we give would demonstrate that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.